Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. You can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available at MMAoddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. I have to apologize. There was a bruise in my house, and unfortunately, I was doing the podcast, and it just zapped out, so I lost the podcast. So unfortunately, if anyone was tuning in for that, I had to cancel and delete that one and start a new one. So my apologies, but it's technology, guys. Sorry about that. Random power outage, very, very strange. Anyways, I'm back, so I'll be talking about whatever I like I said, the news in the world of MMA. I have to cover whatever we talked about because people didn't tune into the live show, won't see that. So I'm just going to get right into it. And I should mention quickly that I'll be back at 12 p.m. Eastern, noon Eastern, with Cole Sheldon breaking down UFC Tampa and previewing that card. So I'll be doing that very shortly, but let me get through this one first. Again, I apologize for the inconvenience there with the show just getting zapped out. But again, it was a power outage. It wasn't my fault. It's very unfortunate. Okay, so let's talk about the news here. First thing, I was already talking about this, but I'll talk about it again. Israel Adesanya against Paulo Costa, according to Cole Sheldon from BJPenn.com. His sources indicate that fight will be taking place in March 2020 at a pay-per-view in Las Vegas. Great fight. Looking forward to that one for sure. Adesanya, 17-0, 18-0 actually now. Paulo Costa, 13-0. So two undefeated guys. Adesanya, 7-0 in the UFC. Costa, 5-0. You don't see too often two undefeated guys really in the prime of their careers going at each other. So this should be an amazing fight. I'm very excited for it. I'll be honest, and I'm going to stick with it. I was looking forward to the John Jones fight. I think that would have been an amazing fight. That could still happen one day. But for now, Adesanya is going to take place. His next fight is going to take place at middleweight. He is still talking a lot of smack to John Jones, and they're going back and forth on social media. So I really think that fight's still brewing, and they're going to fight one day. But for now, he'll be staying at middleweight, and he's going to fight Paulo Costa. So should be a good fight. Again, Cole Sheldon breaking the news that fight's going to be taking place in March 2020. All right, next up, Weili Zhang has been denied a U.S. visa. Very unfortunate news here for the UFC Women's Strawweight Champion. The UFC intended to have her fight her next opponent in the USA after her fight against Jessica Andrade in China, where she knocked her out, won the title. It's probably going to be Tatiana Suarez. I'd assume that's who the next number contender is, but you can't discount the winner of this weekend's fight between Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Michelle Waterson. That's a good fight, and the winner of that fight definitely would have a good, solid argument for being the next number contender, especially if it's Joanna, the former champion. Joanna versus Zhang would be an amazing fight. I think Waterson would be a good fight too, but Joanna versus Zhang is probably the best fight they can make right now. Stylistically, it's just a very exciting fight, two strikers. So hopefully this visa issue can get taken care of very shortly. It's obviously not her fault what's going on in that part of the world, but unfortunately she's been caught in the crossfire, Weili Zhang has. So hopefully the UFC can somehow get her visa to fight in the USA. If not, maybe her next fight will take place in Asia again. I don't think you can completely discount that. There's a card at the end of the year in South Korea. That's Brian Ortega versus Korean Zombie. I think the UFC will still keep that fight as five-round main event. So you're probably looking at maybe January, February, March kind of thing for Zhang. But hopefully that happens soon. And hopefully she gets that visa issue taken care of. Khabib Nurmagomedov had a press conference yesterday in Russia. He talked about a couple different things, including Conor McGregor and Tony Ferguson. He believes Tony Ferguson should be next in line. I think we all agree with Khabib on that one. Tony Ferguson, 12-fight win streak. He 100% deserves to fight for the title next. He talked about Conor McGregor as well. They asked him what he thought about McGregor. They said, will you ever shake his hand again? Khabib said he would shake his hand if McGregor apologized, but he's waiting for an apology from McGregor. So this grudge isn't over between these two. He also believes Conor McGregor hitting the old man in the bar showed that he lacks morality and that he lacks manners. Now, honestly, it's hard to disagree with Khabib about what he said about Conor. He just basically said Conor, you know, these issues keep happening with him, and until he grows up, it's hard for him to really accept that any sort of reason that he's changed. So I have to agree with Khabib on this one. I mean, I think everything he said about Conor is correct. It'd be nice to see Conor kind of man up and act like an adult instead of being, you know, just a spoiled brat, which is what he's basically been for like the last year or so, you know, attacking people, hitting them with their phones, hitting a guy at a bar, the bus attack. He's a spoiled brat, you know. Love McGregor is a fighter, but outside of the cage, the guy's got a lot of problems right now. So hopefully he can, you know, just man up and accept the fact that, you know what, he's messed up and he wants to, you know, change his ways. I know he had the interview with ESPN. I feel like it was pretty, you know, it was kind of, I wouldn't say phony, you know, completely. But other than that, like, when has he really said anything? When has he made a social media message apologizing to his fans for his behavior? He really hasn't. Just that one video on ESPN where Ariel Helwani asked him questions. But other than that, Conor hasn't said much. So it'd be nice to see Conor basically just apologize to everyone that he's kind of hurt the last little while, and hopefully he can come back and fight again. Conor's a great fighter, you know, and I think the UFC does need him back at some point. So Conor, you know, hopefully comes back in the early 2020 season, maybe January, the indie pay-per-view headliner for that card, wherever that's going to be. And so it makes sense if Conor fights on that card. I think Gaethje's a great fight. I think Cerrone's a great fight. Poirier obviously wants that matchup. So there's a lot of matchups for Conor McGregor that if he wants to come back and fight. Maybe even the loser of Diaz and Masvidal, or even the winner of that fight possibly. So there's a lot of different matchups for him. We'll see what happens. But yeah, McGregor, he was scolded by Khabib, and I think for good reason. All right, next up, same card Khabib just fought on Dustin Poirier against Dustin Poirier, UFC 242. There was a very controversial decision in the co-main event between Edson Barboza and Paul Felder. Paul Felder won the fight via split decision, very, very close fight. I think it could have gone either way, honestly. So I don't think it was, like, super controversial that he won, but the scorecards were crazy, 30-27 on each fighter. So, like, you don't see that often. And when one guy scored the fight 30-27 for Barboza and one scored it for Felder, that's just very sketchy. And I think a trilogy fight does make a lot of sense, and Barboza wants it, and his manager says he wants it, and he said Paul Felder's down to fight third time. So I think this fight's great matchup, and Barboza's manager Alex Davis says they want it to be five rounds in the main event on a fight night card. That's perfect. That makes so much sense. You could do it in the States, you could do it in Brazil. It's a great fight, and it's an awesome matchup between two guys that have been rivals for a long time. Barboza won the first fight in 2015, Felder won the last fight at UFC 242. So they're 1-1. Why not do the trilogy? And honestly, right now, like, they're kind of both in the same spot in the division. Even with though Felder won this fight, I think he's still ranked like maybe below even Barboza. I'm not sure how the rankings look right now. I don't put too much stock into them. But as far as like the UFC matchmakers rankings, I'm assuming they're in the same spot as far as the matchmakers go. Like, they're in their minds, they're both the same spot in the division. So this fight makes a lot of sense. Let's get a definitive winner. Five-round fight. Maybe someone gets finished and you prove who the better man is. So, yes, I'm 100% down for the Barboza-Felder trilogy, and I'd love to see it soon. All right, Francis Ngannou's back in the news. He actually tweeted to the UFC yesterday and he requested a fight at UFC 245. He said he really wants to fight, and he wrote, hashtag, this is sucks. So I'm assuming that this sucks, and he wants to fight. And I can't blame the guy. I mean, he's on a nice three-fight win streak right now, knocked out Curtis Blaydes, knocked out Cain Velasquez, knocked out JDS. He needs to fight again, but unfortunately, he deserves a title shot. He just won't be getting it because Stipe and DC are fighting probably early next year. Again, there's a lot of title fights coming up that need cards and big fights like Conor, so I don't know when Ngannou's going to fight again. I think that's why he wants to keep busy. Who's he going to fight? Hard to say. I mean, at this point, he probably will have to fight someone ranked below him in the rankings, unfortunately, but yeah, we'll see what happens there. I mean, maybe if Walt Harris beats Overeem in December, you could do him against Ngannou, or maybe Ngannou could fight really anyone at this point. I mean, let me just take a look at the rankings. Even though I hate the rankings, it just gives you an idea of, like, who's available. So heavyweight, yeah, okay. So Ngannou's ranked number two behind DC and obviously Stipe. Derek Lewis is fighting Blagoy Vana. Maybe you could do the winner of that fight. I mean, the Lewis fight, the first one was terrible, but maybe a rematch is better. If Volkov beats JDS, you could do that fight. So there are a few options. Augusto Sakai, he's undefeated. Yeah, Sergey Pavlovich, he's another guy who's, you know, on the rise. But, yeah, that division, I mean, geez, like, it's really changed. And there's some guys in the top 15 really don't deserve to be there, like Tybura and Pavlovich and Maurice Greene. Like, these guys are really not top 15 fighters in the world. So very strange rankings, but that division is weak. So, yeah, unfortunately for Francis, you know, he might have to wait a little bit longer. I can't blame the guy. He wants to fight, wants to make money, but there really isn't that anyone available. So we'll see. I mean, maybe someone from light heavyweight can move up. Like Ilir Latifi said he wants to move up, I believe, a little while ago. I know that Ngannou would be a big favorite over him, but if he wants to take a fight, I mean, he's going to have to fight someone ranked below him at the moment. So I do believe Ngannou should have a fight soon because Stipe is injured at the moment and he's going to be fighting DC next year, and Ngannou might be waiting a while, so I can't blame him for going out there and telling the UFC, give me another fight. Cain Velasquez, he's in the news. He's been removed from the UFC rankings and from the USADA testing pool, so very unfortunate news here for Cain fans because it looks like he's done from mixed martial arts. It looks like he's going to be doing the WWE thing. It's a good move for Cain, no doubt about it. I think he'll be very happy in WWE. It looks great so far. It looks like a natural, so this is a good move for Cain. But yeah, for fans of him in MMA, I mean, this is probably it for him. He's been removed from the rankings and you saw a testing pool. I mean, if he wants to come back, it's another 6 months in the pool before he's able to fight. So Yeah, it looks like WWE's the home for Cain Velasquez, and you'll be finding Brock Lesnar probably a bunch of times. We'll see that rematch many times. But, you know, I wrote about Cain a little bit yesterday at BJ Penn, and I talked about his legacy in the sport. And he is one of the greatest heavyweights of all time. His overall record, 14-3, 12-3 in the UFC. You know, is he a Hall of Famer? It's hard to say. I mean, honestly, it looked like he was going to be for a long time, and then the injuries really took a toll. Barely fought the last few years. I think he has got like, what, 2 fights in the last 5 years. So he doesn't fight that often. And his last win was in 2016 against Travis Brown. So it's been a while since he fought. The fight with Nagano obviously didn't go his way. And it kind of showed, I think, to him that, you know, maybe this isn't what he wants to do anymore with his life. So I think wrestling's a perfect move for him. We all saw the videos of him with Lesnar and also the stuff in Mexico. He looks great. He looks like a natural. So I'm happy for Cain. But yes, I think that's it for him in the UFC and with MMA. So one day we'll see if he's in the Hall of Fame. I'd say he would be. I think the UFC probably would put him in, but he might have to wait a little while. There's a lot of other guys that deserve a little bit more than him right now. So I think one day you'll see Cain in the Hall of Fame. But it's kind of a shame that he was injured so much, because I think he could have been even better than he was. At his height, he probably was the most dominant heavyweight in the sport and one of the most dominant heavyweights ever. I mean, that fight with JDS, the second fight, where he just completely smashed him in the third fight too. Brutal in the Bigfoot fights. He had some crazy, crazy fights. So, and of course the Brock Lesnar fight. So he had some crazy fights, great wins on his resume, but the inability to stay healthy, I think, really hurt Cain Velasquez. All right, and one fight notes we're here to talk about. This is interesting. Tito Ortiz against Alberto Del Rio, come Matches America, December 7th. Yep. So this fight's happening, guys. What do I think about it? You know, Tito's 44 now, so he's older. And actually, you know, I got to give Tito credit. He's looked pretty good, though. He's coming off 2 straight wins over Liddell and Sonnen, and he's actually won 4 of his last 5. He had a good showing in Bellator, 3-1. He had the loss to McGeary, but he also beat Bonner and Shlemenko. And the Shlemenko one is pretty solid. I mean, Shlemenko was smaller than him, but he still got the submission. And the knockout over Chuck, he looked good in that fight, but Chuck's, you know, Chuck should be fighting. He should never fought in that fight. Should have been booked. Chuck's 49, but he looked good in that fight, so you got to give him credit there. But yes, Alberto Del Rio, I mean, he has some experience. He's a former Pride fighter. You know, he's got that MMA experience, but again, he's an older guy too. He's 42 years old. He's been doing pro wrestling for a long time. His last MMA fight was in 2010. Okay, so he hasn't fought in 9 years. That's a long time, obviously. But again, he has fought in Pride. I remember, you know, who can forget the fight? Dos Caras Jr. When he fought Mirko Krokop, Pride Bushido won. He had the mask on and he fought and he got knocked out with a head kick. He actually has a 9-5 MMA record, but he's coming off a loss in his last fight by knockout. He's been knocked out twice in MMA. Also been submitted once and lost by DQ. I mean, Tito's going to win this fight. Unless it's fixed. I don't think it's fixed. I think Gombachi's is pretty legit as a promotion, so I doubt it's fixed, but you never know with the pro wrestling angle. Like, you really never know. So I'd have to assume that this is going to be a legitimate fight. And, you know, Gombachi's America is a really good promotion, actually. I can't blame them for doing this fight. I mean, they want to bring some big names in, and Tito is a big name. Obviously, Alberto Rios is a pretty big name. So I can't blame them for doing that. But you got to favor Tito Ortiz, guys. Like, no doubt about it. He's the better fighter. You know, even though people don't like Tito, the guy is a great fighter, one of the greatest ever. So he should win this fight. And I would assume he'd be a big favorite over Alberto Rio. We don't have odds for that fight yet, but they will be out soon. I'm assuming Nick Kalikas will be doing the odds for that. He does all the odds for Gombachi's cards. They actually have odds for their event this weekend up, Gombachi 46. So, again, I think Gombachi actually does a good job. They're doing some nice events down there in the southern United States and Mexico. So, good for them. And there's some good fights coming up. But, this one... This is definitely going to be a little controversial for fans. I think fans are going to think this is kind of a joke, but hey, you know what? They got to bring some big names in and get their promotion, you know, on the radar. And Tito Ortiz is a huge name, so is Alberto Del Rio. So it should be at least an interesting fight for however long it lasts. So I think that's it for today's show, guys. I apologize again earlier for when the computer cut out. I had to start the show again. That was just really strange, really fluke, bad luck. Power just went out. So unfortunately that happened. But the good thing is it didn't happen when I was doing the show with Cole. And hopefully it doesn't happen when we do the show at 12 p.m. noon today. We'll be breaking down UFC Tampa. I'm looking forward to doing that with Cole. Should be a really good breakdown show, because that card looks actually pretty decent, to be honest. So we'll be back at 12 noon Eastern to break down that card. That's it for now, though, guys. I appreciate you tuning in, and thanks for being patient with me today. Apologize again for the technical difficulties, but once again, you guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available, as always, at mtheoddsbreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Check me out at bjpenn.com and mmaratings.net. Guys, have a great day, and I'll be back very shortly to break down UFC Tampa. Thanks again. Have a good one. See you soon. Bye.